Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hockey Strength Podcast. This is Brian Sippets. Today on episode 44, we're going to be talking to Brian St. Pierre of Precision Nutrition. Super excited to pick his brain about some nutrition stuff for hockey. I'm also really excited. I actually just did this today on the early pre-sale list. I finally took the leap, and I'm going to be going through the Precision Nutrition certification coming up here for this next certification class, so I'm super excited about that. We're going to get right to it here, guys. I've actually gotten some feedback in the last couple weeks here that people appreciate the length of the podcast and that we sort of get right to it. I will just mention HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. A lot of you already are familiar. If you're not, you can try us out for just a dollar for the first 7 days. Check it out. See what the content's all about. We've got videos, articles, programs, webinars, and lots of other great content available on the site. We're also on social media at HockeyStrength on Facebook and at JoinUsAtHSC on Twitter. So check us out. Lots of great information there. We're also going to get a lot of great information from our guest on the show today. Let's get right to it. Brian St. Pierre from Precision Nutrition. All right, everybody, welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast. Today we are going to be talking to Brian St. Pierre from Precision Nutrition. Brian is a registered dietitian. He's a master's in food science and human nutrition, certified strength and conditioning specialist, and certified sports nutritionist. Right now, he's the director of performance nutrition at Precision Nutrition. So, Brian, we really appreciate you coming on with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brian. Looking forward to it.
So, in doing the research for our conversation today, I was kind of looking around and seeing what was out there, you know, with you and articles that you've posted. And obviously, there's too many articles to read in 1 month as we're getting prepared here. But you've done a ton of writing. You're also sort of a serial podcast guest, so there's plenty to catch up on there. You've been tested over and over again for your nutrition knowledge, and I'm really impressed with the way that you operate, so I'm really excited to have you. And before we test you with some nutrition knowledge, I just do want to touch on, I know that there's a new Precision Nutrition certification class opening up for pre-sale, and that's going to be on October 4th. So that's the pre-sale. If you get on the pre-sale list, you'll get a chance to register early. Can you talk a little bit about the new certification class? I know you've retooled some things for this year and this certification. So what's different, between this certification and the previous ones?
Sure. That's an excellent question. So we've come out with a third edition of this certification, like you said, just a couple of weeks. It's been about 2 years in the making. I'm one of the co-authors on this third edition. So it's been about 4 years since we completely updated it. You know, there are little iterations here and there in the second edition, but that came out in 2012. So we've been working on this, like myself, Ryan Andrews, Dr. John Berardi, Dr. Krista Scott-Dixon. It's been a long love affair with this certification, I guess you could call it. You know, over the past couple of years, really kind of getting it up to date with our most recent, you know, coaching practices, with the most recent research, that kind of thing. So it's been fantastic. But yeah, it's an all new like 600-page textbook. So it's bigger than the previous version. For anyone who's taken it before, they know that it's like a two unit. The textbook is broken up into two separate units. The first half of the textbook, or unit one, is based on like nutrition science. So you learn about like human digestion, human metabolism. You learn about like the effects of proteins and carbs and fats in the body and how they get digested and broken down, and learn about biology and things of that nature. They're all pertinent to nutrition and coaching nutrition. So that section hasn't necessarily changed a ton. I mean, it's been updated, you know, it's been revised with new information, new research, new findings, and it's been improved in terms of, you know, feedback we've gotten from other people and just things we know about best practices when it comes to education and coaching. So it's got like some new figures, new diagrams, maybe some like clearer language or better language around, you know, understanding some of these intense and in-depth nutritional facts and information. But on the whole, that's, you know, pretty similar to previous iterations, previous versions. Now, the second unit has been completely like re-envisioned, and that's about like change psychology and the art of coaching. We've actually added a whole new chapter on business, on like coaching nutrition, the business of coaching nutrition. That was always a request we had gotten in the past from students. So we added a whole new chapter there on different types of models you can use, like coaching models, business models, that best fit, you know, whatever your particular needs might be, whether you're a personal trainer or a strength and conditioning coach, a business owner, or you work at a large chain. We cover different areas, different ways you can utilize nutrition coaching in your practice. And then as for the actual like change in layout, what we found previously was, first of all, let me backtrack. We teach nutrition coaches, fitness professionals, how to assess clients and kind of delineate them by level, what we call like level one, level two, or level three clients. Level one would be most people, you know, just looking to get fitter, get healthier, don't have a ton of nutrition knowledge. They might have a lot of knowledge, but they don't necessarily do the fundamentals consistently. Level two would be some more advanced clients, like higher level athletes, people looking to push the boundaries on, you know, muscle gain, fat loss, that kind of thing. Level three would be like your temporary area. So let's say you have like an athlete looking to take a weight class, a wrestler, a boxer, that kind of thing, or like a physique competitor or a bodybuilder trying to cut down for a show. You know, that's what we'd call like a level three client. So we teach you how to assess and then delineate which level they're in. And then we also, in this book, we teach you how to coach each level, and they have their own chapter. So you can always refer back to it. Oh, I have a level three client. I don't work with many of these. What can I do? Boom. We have a whole chapter on things that are common limiting factors, strategies you're going to use with this type of population. Do the same thing for level ones and for level twos. We found previously people would go through the certification and they would sometimes struggle. They would learn all these cool advanced techniques for level two and level three clients and apply them to level ones, which is not a recipe for success, right? Because they're not ready for that kind of advanced, those kind of advanced strategies. So we hope with this new structure that people will apply the right strategies with the right clients. So it's really, we're really excited about it. We put a lot of work into it. And we also, not only that, we created like an all-new workbook with all new workbook questions to help you practice and integrate and learn the material. We've created all new exam questions. You get a 10-question test quiz as you complete each chapter. We have all new forms, like forms you can use to assess your clients, to work with your clients. Not only that, we have like coaching versions of forms, kind of like a teacher's version of a textbook. So you learn, not only do you use these with clients, you have now more guidance on how to utilize that information that you get. So if they give you certain responses, we direct you then, oh, based on this, you should use this other form to gather more information. Oh, they gave you this kind of response, then you should look towards this form. So we actually give like a whole flow chart on how to best utilize them, which ones to start with, that kind of thing. So it's really cool. It's much more directed. So you have a lot more guidance on what to do and how to do it. We think that'll be really, really well received. We've gotten really good feedback from some test users. And we also have like all brand new animated videos to help you learn each chapter. You know, 15 to 25 minute animated videos, voiceover from either myself or Ryan Andrews. Which I think will be really helpful for the visual learners in the crowd. They're not just like PowerPoint slides and voiceover, they're actual animated videos showing you, especially for like the cellular biology and the Krebs cycle and things that can be kind of hard to take in just reading a textbook. You're now going to also have visual and audio ways of learning. So it's a whole new step up. It's awesome. So I could go on forever. I'll cut myself off. But I've been highly involved in every step of the way, so I've got a lot to say about it, but it's going to be really great.
Yeah, I mean, we've come to expect a lot of Persistent Nutrition because you guys have done such great things in the past, and you're definitely leading that, you know, category, and I think it's something that everybody should have, just that background knowledge, and you guys are stepping it up again, so you're definitely keeping yourselves out in the lead. So I know I'm finally ready to pull the trigger on it, and I'm going to do it this time around. In fact, that's how I ended up kind of getting in touch with you, is that I got some emails about it and decided to join that pre-sale list. So I know I'm really excited about it, and it's definitely something that can help me. And just the business side alone, I have a a business in addition to being a partner of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. So I know the business side of things is going to help me tremendously. And more than that, maybe just the habit change, just knowing change psychology in our field is crucial, I think, for good coaches.
Absolutely. No matter whether you coach nutrition or not, learning some of the fundamental basics of change psychology is going to help you, whether you're just coaching athletes or you're nutrition coaching or life coaching. It doesn't matter what type of coaching. It's almost imperative. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't learn those kind of things.
Yep, absolutely. So moving away from the certification, we're going to test a little bit about what you know. I think, you know, hockey, there's not going to be specific nutrition for hockey. You know, we sort of mentioned that a little bit as we were talking before. But can you, I guess I might challenge you here, test your mettle as a teacher or a coach. It's going to be probably, you know, 99% the same with maybe 1%, that players in season could focus on. We're getting into the season here. So if you could, I don't know if you'd be able to spend equal time on the 99% and the 1%, but talk through maybe some nutrition big rocks for players in season, especially as we get closer to the season now. You've got players who are going to be in games and taking hits and getting worn down by travel and the number of games, especially the higher you go, the more games you're going to play. So walk us through maybe some of the nutrition big rocks for in-season hockey players.
Sure. And as a former competitive hockey player myself and as a current men's league hockey player, I can also speak from personal experience.
Nice.
Like you noted, though, there's not a tremendous amount of difference in the nutritional needs between, say, a hockey player and other like intermittent team sports like rugby or lacrosse, that kind of thing. However, you know, there are definitely some things that are really important, like you said, the big rocks for each of those athletes, especially for hockey players. So at PN, what I can really teach is we teach clients to utilize their hands to gauge their portion sizes. We do this for a few reasons. Like one, your hands are portable, right? They come with you wherever you go. As a hockey player, you go to a lot of tournaments, right? You go to round robins, you travel for away games, there's lots of travel. I remember somewhat fondly, somewhat not, but all the travel for hockey tournaments and hockey games. So having your hands to gauge portion sizes is great because you can ballpark portions anywhere you go. Secondly, they're also scaled to the individual for the most part. The bigger you are, the bigger your hands are, the bigger the portions you get. And generally speaking, the bigger you are, the more food you actually need, the more calories you need. So that tends to work really well. So those are two of the most important reasons why we utilize hands, and because they actually give you really solid total intakes for each type of macronutrient, your proteins, your carbs, your fats, as well as for vegetables. So here's how we teach it. Right? We teach you to use your palm to gauge your portions, your protein sources, so the same diameter and thickness of your palm, your fist to gauge your vegetable sources, like a handful, a cupped handful for your carbohydrate sources, so that would be like starches, and or fruits, like beans or whole grains, potatoes, fruits, that kind of stuff. And we use your entire thumb for your healthy fats, so for like nuts and seeds and olive oils, things of that nature. So in general, for like an in-season, like a highly active hockey player, what we would teach, you know, obviously it depends on the actual size of the athlete, but in general, to cover most hockey players in season, we would teach you to aim for about 6 to 8 palm-sized portions of protein per day. Or about 2 or 3 per meal, if you're eating about 3 meals per day. 6 to 8 fist-sized portions of vegetables per day, again, about 2 or 3 per meal. 12 to 16 handfuls of quality carbohydrates, or about 4 to 6 per meal. So again, that's like whole grains, potatoes, sweet potatoes, beans, any fruit. Those would all be an option. And then about 8 to 10 thumb-sized portions of healthy fats per day, or about 2 to 4 per meal. That's going to really help ensure you're getting adequate total protein to help your muscles recover, help you maintain your muscle mass in season. Because we know any athlete in season, maintaining muscle and strength is really, really crucial to keeping you playing at your highest come the end of the year. You see a lot of athletes who lose 5, 10, 15, or even 20 pounds over the course of a season, and their strength declines. And then when they need everything the most come playoff time, they don't have anything left in the tank. right? So it's really important to make sure you get enough protein to help you recover, help you, you know, maintain that muscle mass and that strength throughout the season. Getting enough vegetables is always important just for general health. That's often overlooked. But if you get sick, right, you're not going to play your best. You're not going to recover. You're going to lose weight. That's going to impact everything else you do. So making sure you get plenty of, you know, quality vegetables in there, any vegetables that you like. There's no super vegetable or any one that's significantly better than the other where you have to really focus on it. But making sure you get in those veggies will help you stay healthy, help you recover, and keep you on the ice, right? And that's like the most important thing. Getting those quality carbohydrates in an appropriate amount will go a really long way towards helping you fuel you up, right? When you're playing a sport like hockey where you have lots of full speed, skating, sprinting, whatever you want to call it, that requires carbohydrates, right, to sprint at your highest capacity for as long as possible. Your body doesn't use fats for that kind of output, so you need to make sure you get adequate carbohydrates as a hockey player, more so than other team sports. You'll see teams like the Lakers, for example, are following like a lower carb diet. Well, in basketball, you're not all out sprinting as much. There's lots of continuous motion of play, whereas hockey, you skate hard, you rest for a couple minutes. You skate hard for 45 seconds, you rest hard for a couple minutes. So you definitely need, it's more important in hockey to get those carbohydrates in. And that's probably the biggest difference in hockey than other sports where you're not coming off the field, right? In soccer or in rugby or in basketball, you are on the court or on the field majority of the time. Hockey, you're actually on the ice for less than the majority of the game. You know, at most, maybe a third to a half, unless you're a goalie. So you have much more intermittent. So that's probably the most important thing, where you definitely need to make sure you're getting enough carbohydrates to fuel those all-out sprints and then to recover on the bench between sprints. And the healthy fats just help to ensure they're also a fuel source to help you recover between shifts. They're also really important for your immune system, your hormones, like your testosterone levels, and stuff like that. So it's important to get that balanced intake. And so that's something that we really emphasize and teach to help clients easily ballpark their portions, whether they're at home or on the road, and really make sure they're getting adequate amounts of each of the important macronutrients. So that's something that I would really, really emphasize for any athlete, but in particular, you know, for hockey athletes, especially with the physical component of the game and the frequency with which you play. It's really important to make sure you're kind of hitting all of those numbers to help you recover as best as possible. So did I reach the needs?
I think you got your quota, yeah. You know, a couple of things come to mind there. Number one, from the player's standpoint, you know, as a former player myself, what's the best way for players to gauge that? Is it just how you feel? Is it based on weight? And then on the flip side of that, now as a strength and conditioning coach, which I think most of our listeners are, what should we be looking for? I mean, are we looking at decreased performance parameters, those kinds of things? So how do we know what pieces of the puzzle are missing in that case?
There can be a couple different things, and sometimes it's a mixture of all of those different types of markers, right? You want to see how athletes are feeling, how's their performance, and how they're performing in the gym, how are they performing on the ice. But there's more to it than nutrition, right? It's also making sure they're getting adequate sleep. So if you're working with high school athletes in particular, that can be a challenge, but an incredibly important one. You know, you can use stuff like heart rate variability. There are different things you can measure to see how well someone's recovering, but nutrition is only a part of that. It tends to be a big part, though. So if you see guys or you have athletes who are really lagging or you feel like their strength is going down, they're either under-eating and or they're under-eating protein. So that's something to definitely check into. If you see guys who are just like slowly losing their ability to kind of have that full burst, that full output, mm-hmm. they're probably under-eating carbs or they're just eating lots of, you know, low-quality foods, that kind of thing. You know, if you see guys struggling with illness and infection or, you know, constantly struggling with something, that can be a combination of things because, you know, protein's really important for your immune system. Vegetables are obviously really important for your overall health. Fats are important for your immune system. Sleep, I mean, so many things impact your immune system. You know, I would kind of discuss all of those areas. You know, how is your sleep looking like? What's your protein intake? What kind of fats are you eating? Or have them fill out a food log for you. They don't necessarily know how to answer those questions, but a food log can show you, give you an idea. You can kind of ballpark the hand-sized portions from there, or have them give it to you in hand-sized portions. You know, that kind of thing. So there are different ways you can go about it, but it's definitely important to at least try to get some level of an idea of what their intake looks like. So even if it's just as simple and informal as chatting about it while they're foam rolling, warming up. You know, oh, what did you have for breakfast today? You know, oh, what did you have for lunch before at school before, you know, heading over to the gym after school to work out or whatever the case might be. So it's sometimes it's as simple as that if you don't have a more formal process where they're sitting down with you and you're analyzing their intake. But no matter what, you got to have a dialogue, period, in some way, shape, or form to have a sense of what they're eating. And you have an idea of what their needs actually are, since I outlined them earlier, right?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we do with our teams at our facility is we have them do a recovery survey. So it's just a simple way to collect some data, collect some numbers on them. And I realize more and more now, one of the questions on there was number one, you know, how was your nutrition quality today? And number two, you know, how much did you get to eat enough today, basically? And I'm realizing more and more now that I think kids, especially high schoolers, have no idea what their nutrition quality was, you know? So maybe we need to retool that and throw some education in there on the side to make sure they're getting the right stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, prior to working at Precision Nutrition, you know, I worked for 3 years at Crescent Sports Performance as a strength coach and as the nutritionist there. So I spent most of my day, you know, interacting with high school athletes and college athletes, along with some pros, but it's mostly high school and college guys. That makes up the majority of athletes in the U.S., right? So that's a big part of it. You learn really quickly. You know, when you coach those kind of athletes and you ask them, you know, what are good protein sources, and they give you peanut butter as an answer, that they don't know, right? So some level of education, it doesn't need to be, you know, a whole day of education, but just some simple education on, you know, proteins, what are some quality proteins, quality carbs, healthy fats. Doesn't need to be an exhaustive list, but just giving some simple basic guidelines goes a really long way towards just giving them some clarity as to what's what.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, moving from that, from, I guess, more general eating information to something a little bit more specific, game day nutrition, I think it's another big question. And I hear that quite a bit. You know, what should we be eating on game day? And, you know, I think I remember once as a player, you know, I was in the American League, which they were still doing 3 games in 3 days. So you play Friday night, Saturday night, and then like Sunday afternoon at 3 or 4. So I remember sitting in some hotel on Sunday at 10 a.m. with a plate of chicken and pasta in front of me and just thinking, I just want this to be in my stomach. I don't even want to have to eat it. Like, you know, you have to eat, but chicken and pasta or chicken parm or whatever is like a staple meal for hockey players. Can we do better than that? I mean, I understand that, you know, there's budget concerns and everything. Can we do better than chicken and pasta, or at least mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with chicken and pasta, right? It's important to fuel up and get plenty of protein and some carbs, but I don't think it needs to be that monotonous is the thing. There are plenty of other combinations that will meet the same needs, right? Your goal is to get lean protein and an adequate amount of quality carbohydrates. So in this case, you know, 2 to 3 pounds of protein and 4 to 6 handfuls of carbohydrates at that meal, along with some veggies and healthy fats, and you're going to be golden. Whether it's, you know, chicken or like sirloin or, you know, some lean pork or turkey or fish is irrelevant, as long as it's a food that you like and that you find you tolerate well. That's part of the key thing I always like to talk about when it's game day nutrition. You shouldn't be eating some food that you've never, ever eaten, right? You don't want to risk having an upset stomach or having any kind of issues there. So it should be a food that you eat consistently, you enjoy, that you're comfortable with. You don't feel like negatively it affects you, makes you feel heavy or slow or anything like that. So if chicken's your thing, that's fine. Maybe haddock is your thing. Maybe shrimp is your thing. Maybe eggs. Any of those protein sources, any of them work. Doesn't matter. I'm just getting, you know, 2 or 3 palms, palm-sized portions are golden. For carbohydrates, again, yeah, they could be, if you like potatoes or sweet potatoes or rice, you know, awesome. Any of those work, any of the above. Any other whole grains, add some fruit in there for one of your handfuls of carbohydrates. Any of the above are an option. It doesn't just need to be pasta. It simply needs to be a quality carbohydrate. regardless of the specific source. And I would make sure to include some healthy fats in there, like some nuts or some avocado, some olive oil, or you know, some seeds like chia seeds or flax seeds, some peanut butter, anything like that would be a great option. You're getting 2 to 4 pound-sized portions depending on the size of the individual or how many meals a day you're actually eating. So it doesn't need to be chicken and pasta. Right? And long as you're checking off those boxes with a quality protein, you know, carbohydrate, healthy fat, and vegetable that you like and enjoy and that sit well with you, that you eat on a regular basis, they're all fair game. There's nothing inherently magical about pasta versus potatoes.
So maybe I could make up a list and take it to all the people who plan the meals on the road just to say, hey, listen, there are other things out there, guys. But
absolutely.
So what about tournament nutrition? You know, there's, you know, definitely at the youth level and all the way up to the high school level, there's tournaments where you have multiple games in a day. You know, can you talk about what to eat in between games or, you know, what's important to how you would structure your eating day based around like a, say a 10 o'clock game and a 6 o'clock game?
Sure. So on days like that, it's really important to at least get in as much food as I listed earlier, possibly even more since your output is higher, right? But you can only handle so much volume of food when you're playing 2 or even 3 games in a day. But yeah, so if you have a game at 10 and a game at 6, you know, you're best off, make sure you eat a quality breakfast before your 10 o'clock game, maybe even a light snack before the game, depending on how much earlier you eat breakfast. If it's mostly high school athletes you deal with, they're probably not getting up at 6 and have a quality breakfast before a 10 o'clock game. Maybe they are. And if so, you want to make sure they're also getting something light so they don't feel hungry during the game, but not necessarily full either. Then I'd really work to get something in after the game as soon as possible because you're going to be playing another game. You know, if you were playing another game in 2 days, the timing isn't as important. You know, if you wait an hour or two, 2 hours after the game to eat, it's no big deal. You're going to fully recover within those couple of days anyway. But since you have another game in such a short period of time, that's an area where I would really make sure to have something as soon as possible after the game. You know, even if it's like a Gatorade, a protein and carbohydrate drink, like BioSteel makes a good one, called their advanced recovery formula, get some quick digesting protein and carbs in you just to start that recovery process right away because the speed is important when you have another game in such a short period of time. And then making sure, even within an hour or so after that, getting in a nice quality meal as I kind of outlined before. I'd probably try to get in a couple. So if you eat, say, games from 10 to 11, you actually don't eat again until, let's say, 12. You have that shake after. Then you eat another meal at, let's say, 3. Then you've got 3 hours between your last meal and the game. Good amount of time to digest, let things settle. But so far, you've already had 3 quality meals that day, plus the recovery drink, and you play your 6 o'clock game and then have another just meal after that. So you actually get in 4 quality full-size meals that day. So your intake would be higher, which you're going to need it though because your output is higher, right? You're playing 2 games, you're not just playing 1. So that's probably like a simple description of what you would do. It could vary depending on obviously the exact times of the games and things like that, but it's really important when you're traveling, you're on the road, to help bring some stuff with you that carries well. Fruits and vegetables, nuts, like our fruits in particular would be stuff like apples, pears, oranges tend to travel really well, that are dried fruit, that are easy to snack on if you only have a really small time between games. Bring some nuts or some peanut butter, things you can easily munch on, like beef jerky or even protein powder. Just make a quick protein shake with the apple and some peanut butter. Is it ideal? No, like you've seen people have like a whole food meal. But is it better than not eating or living on fast food? Absolutely. It's going to help your recovery. It's going to give you the calories you need. And it's going to help you feel light and energetic for your next game.
Yeah, and I think maybe the biggest misconception there is that people go either way. They're afraid to eat a whole meal when there's 4 or 5 hours in between a game. And at the same time, they're afraid to not eat enough. So I guess it would basically boil down to what you handle well as an athlete. If you're one of those who can eat 2 hours before practice or a game, then probably go ahead and do that. And if you're not one that can do that, then smaller snacks are going to be the way for you.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You've got to always personalize to the individual and their particular preferences and needs.
So real quick, yeah, you know, wrapping up, I think post-game nutrition is kind of a big question mark for a lot of people. I know, you know, at least at the collegiate and professional level, the go-to, and I think just because of logistics, the go-to is usually, you know, grab a pizza and have them in the locker room or on the bus after a game. Not always ideal, I'm sure, but what kind of things should we be doing post-game to make sure that we're recovering and maybe ready for a game the next day, or, you know, just getting ourselves back up to baseline after getting beat up for a couple hours?
Right. Honestly, like, the idea that you have to have something fancy, like I mentioned, you know, that protein and carbohydrate drink, my BioSteel, like, I would only use stuff like that if you have to recover within a really short period of time. Like, say you play a night game and you have a morning game the next day, or you play a morning game and you have an evening game. That's where speed of recovery is imperative. But let's say you have a game and your next game is 2 days later. You don't have to, it's not going to give you any extra benefit versus just, you know, take a shower, go home, and eat a high-quality meal as I've already outlined. Those 2 to 3 palm-sized portions of protein, 2 to 3 fists of veggies, 4 to 6 handfuls of carbs, 2 to 4 thumbs of healthy fats. And make sure they're from quality foods, like, you know, minimally processed foods, not refined grains. They're not, you know, ultra-fatty protein sources. You know, you're not just getting fast food, things of that nature. Getting mostly, you know, real, whole, minimally processed foods. That's going to help maximize recovery. And making sure you're hydrated. Making sure you're getting plenty of water during the game, or even like an electrolyte beverage, like a Gatorade or a G2, anything like that, just to help you stay hydrated. Hydration is really critical to recovery. So, you know, that would probably be my answer. It depends upon the context. If you do have a short time period between games, speed of recovery is more important. So, like a protein and carbohydrate drink, like that BioSteel Advanced Recovery Formula, is a great option to help speed up that recovery process. But if not, like, just getting in a whole food meal within 1 to 2 hours after the game is going to help maximize your recovery just as much if you have a full day or two to recover. So don't feel the need to get some fancy special product unless there is a, you know, very specific need for it. But for the most part, get in that whole food quality balanced meal as I've outlined. That's going to help maximize your recovery for sure.
And I honestly think that's the biggest challenge, is getting the quality nutrition that you need after a game. I mean, there's so many easy options out there, you know, like man-made food and that kind of stuff, where you're not going to be able to get the grains and things like that. And unfortunately, most of the things that are the healthiest for you take time to cook and prepare and all that kind of stuff. So it might take a little bit of preparation ahead of time, but I think that should be a focus too, is really getting better quality, not just eating for eating's sake. Obviously, in an emergency, that's going to be best, but, you know, we want to be able to... Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, one thing I find really helpful with, like, some of the high-level athletes I work with, and some of the, you know, professional teams I work with, and then obviously with high school athletes too, is something that we call super shakes. It uses that same kind of meal template, portion sizes, but you actually just put it on a blender and blend it up. So it's really tasty, it's really convenient, it's portable, you can make it before the game, bring it with you, and then have it after the game if you know you're going to have like a two-hour bus ride home and they're not going to stop for anything decent. So it's a great, convenient option. You can make it as a meal. I personally have a super shake every day. This is one of my meals for the day. I eat 4 times a day, so one of my meals is a super shake. So it kind of gives you a touch of everything. So really what I would recommend is like 2 scoops of protein powder, those are 2 palms of protein, like 2 handfuls of spinach. We tend to like spinach in super shakes because it doesn't affect the taste. It changes the color, but you won't even know what's in there taste-wise, whereas other vegetables like kale and like carrots, you know they're in there. So spinach doesn't affect it. And then 2 to 3 handfuls of some quality carbohydrates like fruit, or even some oats, like uncooked oats, but fruit tends to work really well. A banana and blueberries, you know, frozen strawberries, frozen fruit we tend to really like because it makes it nice and cold, and it helps it last for a period of time. And then, you know, a couple thumb-sized portions of some healthy fats, like some peanut butter or some almonds, some flax seeds, and even avocado actually works really well in a smoothie. It makes it creamy, but avocado has a very mild taste. You just won't even know it's in there. It's overpowered by the protein powder in the fruit. So it generally tastes like a fruit and protein powder smoothie, right? So you could do a chocolate protein with some banana, with a banana and some peanut butter and some spinach, and it'll taste like chocolate and banana and peanut butter. Or you do some vanilla protein powder and some banana and some strawberries, you know, what have you. The options are endless. It's really more of a template that you can then fill in with whatever, you know, flavor protein, fruit, vegetable, and healthy fats that you like. So it's a really great option. I use it with a lot of my professional guys as well as high school guys to make a quick, convenient meal. Doesn't require cooking skill, right? And it's super easy to clean up. You just rinse out the blender.
God, that sounds phenomenal right now. You must have caught me around lunchtime here. Sounds really good. But, you know, and as you were talking there, I remembered I did pick up and read your Ultimate Hockey Nutrition PDF book, which was really, really great and an awesome resource. I think it would be really helpful for hockey people, especially, you know, you do have a ton of recipes in there. I remember seeing that where you are putting a lot of that stuff together. So it's a great resource. If anybody's interested, they can pick it up. Talk a little bit about where we can find a lot of your stuff. I know you're with Precision Nutrition, but you also have your own website.
I do have my own website. I will admit I don't do much with it these days. You know, it's BrianSinkerTraining.com. But you can find all of my archive material, which there's a lot. It's also an easy place if you want to get Ultimate Hockey Nutrition or you want to get Ultimate Hockey Transformation Nutrition. I've written two nutrition books for Kevin Neild. Great place to pick those up. If you really want to check out what I'm working on these days, I'd highly recommend just following me on precisionnutrition.com. I write a lot of articles for Precision Nutrition. I speak and we'll oftentimes record my talks at seminars and conferences. And we'll put them up as articles or as podcasts. That's where to keep up with all of the work that I do. And obviously the level one certification, I spent 2 years of my life working on that. So that's going to be the most up-to-date area of stuff I've worked on, as well as all the infographics we put out on precisionnutrition.com. I play a large role in a lot of the infographics that we create. So lots of usable information there. That'd probably be the best place to keep up with my most up-to-date stuff. But if you want to get my books on hockey nutrition, I've written two, that'd be from BrianSinkerTraining.com. You can put them up on the homepage.
Awesome. Well, I know I'm looking forward to the new certification class for Precision Nutrition. I'm going to definitely do that one this fall and looking forward to the great information there. I can't wait to see it. And Brian, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. I know you got about a ton of things going on, so really appreciate your time. And I know people are going to get a lot out of this. If you need more, check out those books. Like I said, the Ultimate Hockey Nutrition Guide is the one that I got, and it was really helpful, especially in preparing for this, preparing to try to keep up with you on the podcast here. So I really appreciate your time, and we hope to hear more from you soon.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. That's going to wrap up episode 44 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks to you for joining us, and thank you very much to Brian St. Pierre for sharing some nutrition knowledge with us today. I think it's something we can all improve upon. We talk a lot about training, but very little about nutrition, and really, they go hand in hand, so we want to make sure we're geared up in that way. Again, that certification for Precision Nutrition is going to be starting up here on October 4th. If you're on the pre-sale list, so find a way to get on that list. I actually just signed up today on the pre-pre-sale list, so I'm super excited. Check it out. They've got a great product, a great curriculum, and I'm expecting some really great things from them. So this has been Brian Sippets for the Hockey Strength Podcast. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com, the world's greatest resource for training hockey players. We'll talk to you guys soon.